The Bible says that an unmarried Christian can be concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but what does that look like in real life? Join me for today's edition of the Fruitful Single Podcast. So I'm joined today by Karan Madra. Karan, where do you live?
I live in Rolla, Missouri.
How long have you lived there?
I came here in 2013, August, and almost completing my fifth year here this August.
Okay. And where are you from originally?
I'm originally from a big city called New Delhi. That's in India.
You're a missionary to Rolla from India, right?
In a way, yes. Yeah. We all are missionaries. Every Christian is a missionary wherever he is. We don't need mission trips to serve him. It's actually every second of our life which we have, we are living in our daily lives. That's our mission trip. So life should be like a mission trip for every believer.
And were you raised in a Christian home?
No, my parents are not believers.
Oh, no. Wow. Wow, okay. So then how did you meet Jesus?
I met Jesus in the year of 2011. Life was moving. Everything was fine. I was born in a good family, had a lot of friends, was doing well in school. So I had no one who I ever disappointed. So I was a good sports person, a good student, a good son. So, you know, but at the same time, there's some pride which develops within us, which I was not able to recognize, and but God did, thankfully. And there came a point in my life when, right after I graduated from high school and joined college, I didn't get adjusted there, and it was like I felt alone, but I kept going to that college, and suddenly I was no longer a good son and no longer a good student, and I wasn't doing well in my life, and I could see that suddenly my life was turning upside down. Hmm. I personally felt in my spirit that it was a call from God, started knowing more about who God is, mm-hmm. read the Word of God, and as soon as I read, I immediately realized that, yes, I need this. And the more mm-hmm. I read, it wasn't that I read the Bible read me. Mm-hmm. I could see how deficient I was, how incomplete I was without God, and how much I had broken God's heart, how much I was short of the standard which God expects. So immediately the old Karan was kind of gone, was destroyed, there was a new heart in me which had a new desires, which was just to please God, surrender to Him and do His will. It almost was like Christ was just was living with me, showing me the path to take every day. So He's the hero, I'm just a follower.
So what are some ways that you've found that you're able to serve or minister for the Lord?
It's amazing that we do not know how we can be used, but God knows what the best qualities in us are. It's almost like looking at the clay. Clay doesn't even know what good is it for, but the potter knows the clay can be used to be carved into beautiful containers and beautiful things which can bring happiness into others' lives. I feel the same thing. So every day is a new day. As I said, when I open my eyes, it's almost like He has new things to do. It can be sometimes visiting someone who's in the hospital. It can be sometimes blessing someone who is in need of food or basic necessities of life. It can be just to do nothing and just pray and remember God and reunite with Him, because the worldliness and the busyness can sometimes drift us away from God, and mm-hmm. we can be out of tune. And then it's just incredible, the people in our lives. One of my best things is to go through my message inbox, and I just keep scrolling down and see who are the people I haven't talked to, and suddenly a name will appear, and you know from the Spirit God wants you to talk to the person and know what's going on. And once you text that person, you find out that that person, yes, is in a big need where you can help, and God uses for that purpose. So we are just the clay, and He's the potter, and it's just When we are in tuned with him, he will make us work for him and his kingdom yet to come.
The church in India, I think, has a stronger life of prayer than the church in the United States. At least,
yes, that
was my experience. So,
yes, can
you share how the Lord mm-hmm. has helped you to maintain a healthy life of prayer here in the United States?
Someone asked me a good question, and he just said, how would you check how humble a person is? Just asking him how many times a day he prays to God, because it shows he's trusting God more. That will show how humble he is. That really touched me, and that really personally also, when I started praying after that, I just heard back from people that thank you for praying because we see an effect in our life. That makes you feel overjoyed. That makes you feel excited. You feel that the effort you are putting into your relationship with God by praying, that is being rewarded by the Lord, and he's giving you favor. He's accepting your request which you made. So that brings excitement, and you feel that the other things in the world are so less worthy than this thing.
How do you find the people with needs that you're able to minister to?
I'll take an example of a flute. Flute doesn't know how the sound comes, but the only one thing which flute can do is to surrender itself to the player, and the player takes the flute and player starts playing by opening a different hole at a different time, and the nice sound comes. So the flute just surrenders itself. I believe the same case is with us. We cannot do great things on our own. We can't start going out and handing out food to people. It's just that we just have to do one thing, and that's to surrender ourselves. And once we surrender ourselves, the God plays through us. He uses us. So to answer your question specifically, it's just that I'll just say you walk out and send me someone. I think you work in partnership with God. It's never by alone. When you're praying, when you're in him, God will send the needy people automatically in some way to you, and you will find it out. You go for a walk, suddenly you'll meet somebody who needs some help. You call a friend, suddenly you will realize, oh, he's sick. It's a good time to visit him. So it's almost like a relationship, like marriage with God, that you are working with him, and he works with you, and you work with him to serve others.
That's a great answer. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Now, do you live alone, or do you live with other people?
So for my first 3 years, I lived alone. That was in an apartment. However, I felt a need to be more closer to my church, and my church bought a property right next to next to where the church is. And that house has 5 rooms, and it was, you can just rent a room. So I live in a house which has 5 rooms, and I have other people, like 4 others, who have their own rooms. And we share a common kitchen, and I get to see them quite often. And that's also an opportunity to reach out.
That's great. That sounds like an ideal situation. Now, your parents are not Christians. So how have you experienced, pressure from your parents? You know, Karan, what's wrong with you? You're 28 years old. Why haven't you married yet? You know, do we need to find someone for you? Have you had anything like that?
Yes, I have had things like that. Last night only, my mom said, your cousin is getting married. You let us know when you find somebody soon, because we are looking forward to it.
So what advice or encouragement would you give to another Christian young person listening who's maybe in a similar situation where their parents don't understand, why aren't you out looking for a husband or a wife?
I would just say, just run to the Lord, because I believe Lord rules over the heart of men. He can turn anyone's heart. So God has still everything under control. So trusting that everything happens by the will of our Father is an important thing to discern.
Yes. And what about, have you had situations where maybe someone who's a Christian tries to connect you with a Christian girl that they know? You know, they're like, hey, Karan, you know, I know this really nice Christian girl. She's about your
age.
How do you handle that situation?
That's a good question, and it has certainly happened. And I just usually answer the person back that I appreciate your concern for me. However, I have to first pray about this. Neither I'm saying yes, neither I'm saying no, which is a good thing. You're not denying the person right in their first interaction about this idea. So, and then once you say, I need to pray about this, you can certainly pray about this and you don't have peace about it. You can certainly go back to the person, hey, I appreciate your concern for me. However, right now, I do not feel that right now is the right time for me to meet that person. And I'll continue to, I'll let you know if I do feel that God wants me to meet the person you're trying to make me meet. Mm-hmm. And I think usually people respect that, and certainly when you give time to a thing, you usually end up making a right decision about it.
As single people, we can more easily just kind of know people only on the surface and just kind of avoid committed deep relationships if we're not intentional about developing them. So what have you done to help develop some strong relationships with some other Christian men?
So one thing is to have like a small study group in your house or wherever you would like to meet once a week, where other people meet you at a regular set time, and that brings encouragement into your life. And you read the Word of God. And second way is to serve other people together. It's also a great way of fellowshipping, and it brings more camaraderie, more love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is certainly you go to church on Sundays. Again, you see your brothers and you worship them together. And we really need to put Jesus first in our lives. And then one of the best ways is by being with His people. So fellowship is really important. And when it's a slow week, there's not meetings happening, I usually invite some people at my house. I like to cook for them and have a good time and listen to their heart. Sometimes if I haven't talked to somebody for a long time, I just invite and have a one-on-one meeting with them, listen to their heart, what's going on in their life, and remind them and encourage them that what Word of God says about that particular thing they're going through.
So let's say that maybe there's someone listening to us that, let's say maybe a 25-year-old young man, let's say he maybe just became a Christian 2 years ago, and he's trying to decide now, you know, should I be looking for a wife? What advice would you give him?
Once you are with him, your life does not belong to you. It belongs to him. And if he's the master of your life, he has the right to make decisions about your life. So I should not go out or put my advertisement or start looking for a wife unless he wills it. And if he wills it, he will automatically arrange a scene where someone enters your life and you feel like it, that yes, this is the person I want you to be with. And if he's not, then maybe God is wanting me to wait. So just trusting what has happened in your life is the best thing you can ever do. Not actively doing things on your own. It's almost like taking the back seat. And when we follow Christ, it's like you sign a resignation letter and give it to the Lord by saying, I resign from my own life, and now let you be the Lord and Savior of my life and tell me what you have for me to do. So he decides who your people will be, who you'll be interacting, who are the people you'll be meeting, who are the people you'll be serving. He has control over each and every being which even comes near to you. So why can the Lord of Lords, who has power and authority on every being who can even come near to you, why doesn't he has the ability to send the right person in your life?
Thanks for joining me for today's edition of the Fruitful Single Podcast. My email address is daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. If you would like to send a message on to Karen, or if you know someone else I should interview, or if you just have some ideas or questions for me, I would love to hear from you. Again, that email address is daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. May Jesus bless you with a fruitful week. And remember, don't waste your singleness.